Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Thank you for choosing to listen to this message by Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. We believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God shared during this time. Now here's Pastor Edwards.
Hello, this is Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ, and I ask that you please support this ministry by making a donation of any amount today. You can give by way of the Cash App, and our cash tag is $THCOGIC, and that's $THCOGIC. You can also text to give by texting the letters LK and the number 638 to the telephone number 41444. And that's LK638 to the number 41444. You can also go online to our website. That's trueholinesscogic.org. That's trueholinesscogic.org. Click on the give icon in the upper right hand corner, and you can use our online form, or you can choose PayPal to make your donation. And remember, a gift of any amount will help us to continue to spread the gospel. And may God richly bless you for your generous gift today. And we at True Holiness thank you for your support of the ongoing work of this ministry. And now for today's message.
Y'all don't shout today, I'm going to shout myself. I may not cut up, but I may as well do me a little jig. Y'all just don't know. I truly understand what they call them, the circadian rhythm or the biological rhythm, the internal clock and how it gets thrown off. Ooh, Lord Jesus. Sleep never felt so good on that night. Oh, Lord. I believe I run on now. Get your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And we will, I'm going to ask that we stand together and read 16 through 24 together in unison on this morning. Luke chapter 14, verse 16 through 24. As we stand together, read it. We're reading from the King James Version of the Bible, and if you have it, please say amen. And let us read beginning at verse 16 altogether. The word of the Lord reads, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come. come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. When I read that, I was like, okay, I've seen that many times, but the Lord just laid it into my spirit today. I want you just to repeat after me. Am I executing or making excuses? Maybe see it. Am I executing or making excuses? Simple terms. Either you do or you die. You do it or you remain where you are and die. Not necessarily a natural death, but it could be a spiritual death. It could be the death of your dreams, the death of a relationship, the death of a friendship. If you keep making excuses rather than executing, you will die. So I read that passage of Scripture, and I'll explain it to you, because the passage Jesus hears is giving a parable, and he is talking about the children of Israel. Here in this passage, Jesus is saying that he got everything ready. He's getting everything ready for this big gathering, meaning that the Israelites knew the Old Testament and they understood that the Messiah was going to come. And so here is a picture of the Messiah is already here. And he's asking them to come. And he's talking to the Israelites, and you notice as Jesus was there among his own people, would not accept who he was. And he was calling them. He says, that thing that you know about in the Old Testament, in the Scripture, I am he. I am here. I am the Messiah. And I'm bidding you to come. But they rejected. And here they, the parable, he's put together a feast, and this is a picture of or like a wedding ceremony where they would send out invitations far in advance. And, you know how we send them out and we RSVP or we let people know that we are going to come or we're not going to come. Well, nobody rejected the invitation. So here they were thinking that everyone was going to come. But when it was time and everything was prepared, they began to make excuses. Why I can't come? Why I won't be there? And so, ultimately, Jesus came, and they made excuses, and so, therefore, he sent the disciples out, and he went to the hedges and the highways, and he invited all the lame and the sick. And you notice that Jesus always got in trouble with the Pharisees because he ate with sinners, and he did. But they rejected him, so, like I said, he went out to get everybody to call them to come in. And then when he did that, the servant came back and said, I've gone all the way out, I've done this, but there's still room. And he said, go out some more and bring them in. And he went and called to the Gentiles. And that's how you and I were able to be grafted into the kingdom, because he sent them out and we come and we accept it. But there's still that with those Jews who did not accept it. And that's when we get to the last verse. It says, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And what happened ultimately in that passage of Scripture, the Jews were overtaken by the Romans in about 70 AD. So they were ultimately destroyed. They died because they made excuses. What excuses are we making today for not doing the things of God? What excuses are we making today for not abiding in our calling? What excuses are we making today for not doing what mama and daddy told us to do? Excuses. I can hardly forget this little definition of excuses, because you'd be amazed at how much you are able to retain and remember you're put under pressure. It was the pressure of pledging that made me realize that excuses are the tools of the incompetent. And those who specialize in them seldom accomplish anything and build monuments to nothing. Are you executing or making excuses? Even in the military, in the army, they would give you orders to do things. May not give you everything that you need, and you better not make excuses. They'll say, drill sergeant or sergeant, how am I going to do this? He didn't recite excuses are the tools of the incompetent. He just said a few words, make it happen. Make it happen. And you say, well, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to make it happen. And I'm calling on us today to make it happen rather than make an excuse. Because excuses are easy. Excuse, or you can find a way to justify anything. An excuse is just a reason put forth to defend or to justify a fault or an offense or to try to remove the blame. But it wasn't really, you know, officer, I really wasn't speeding to see this car. No. But I really didn't, it didn't happen that way because what had happened was, see, I was tired and my eyes was closed and I was walking to the... Kind of reminds me of this story. It's men's days. I'm talking to the men. You know, kind of reminds me of this story I heard long ago. The man loved his wife. Loved her. Come home and turn on some Netflix and sit down and watch a movie. Just sit here and stumble a little bit. I got a headache. All right, okay, that's Monday. Okay, all right. Tuesday come around. Turn on some of them Lifetime channels. They don't see it. I watch a Lifetime. I'll say, all right, let me go ahead and be proactive on this thing. Brother, stop by Walmart on the way home, go to the pharmacy aisle and get some of them ibuprofen up there. Going home with some ibuprofen. Came on. Say, oh, it's one of them good lovey-dovey movies on tonight. He turned the movie on and I rubbed the feet and everything. I said, oh, I got some faith. Oh, here's my, what you got for? I ain't got no headache. So, oh, okay, all right. So, oh, my stomach hurt. You see, people can find excuses when they just don't want to do something. Y'all laughing. Yeah, you got smart, brought some aspirin home. They say, oh, my stomach hurts. See, you can find a way to justify anything and get out of it. The lady's laughing over there. Y'all know there's some truth. I just wanted to make it plain for y'all. Y'all know how to give a little illustration. And so this concept of excuses, and I want to walk through this really quickly to give you an understanding. So the first person came up and he said, you know, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs to go and see it. That's why I can't come to the feast. People make all types of excuses why I can't come to the Lord, why I can't worship him, why I can't be there in service. And here this man is saying, you know, I got to go see a piece of property, liking this to the businessman. Got a meeting that came up. I got to go, but here, who in their right mind buys a piece of property and doesn't even look at it first? And so now he's saying, I bought this piece of property. I gotta go look at it so I can't come make an excuse because I'm not going to buy something I have not seen. And so here we can make an excuse to get out of anything. And then the other one said, you know, I bought some oxen, you know, the 5 yoke of oxen. And I got to go and prove them. I got to test them out to make sure they work right. They can do my plowing, you know, that's. You know, the businessman has an excuse. I'm trying to acquire my wealth. I got to go do it. But now we get to the blue collar man who broke it, tied behind the ice. I got to go prove my oxen. But who buys a piece of equipment these days? Who even buys an F-150 to take out there and don't test drive it first? Who does that? Nobody. But here he's making an excuse. I bought some oxen. I got to do some plowing. So I got to go prove them. First man, you already bought the property. It ain't going to change. You can just come on and go view it later. You're not going to buy some oxen and not prove it first. So here we see this whole line of excuses. Then I like the last one, man. And I just got married. I'm a newlywed. I can't leave my lady home and come. Well, say, bring her. RSVP, put two down. You see, in that day, newlyweds were exempt from military service, you know, but nothing kept them away from going to attend this feast. You just see, they just made an excuse. When you look back over your life, how many of you can really say that I really made some excuses? Because I just didn't want to do something. I raised my hand. And you need to get to a point to in life to say, I need to just take this off of my to-do list if I'm going to keep making excuses because I really don't want to do it. And stop committing to things that you don't want to do and can't do because every time they ask you about it, you got an excuse. Let it go, because if you're not going to execute it, you're not going to survive. What's my excuse for not doing what God called me to do? What's my excuse for not abiding in my calling? And you say, well, show me somebody, Pastor. Show me somebody. Well, you ain't good company. If you ever made an excuse. But you don't want to get to a point to where it's like in verse 24 that you make an excuse and God actually takes you out. Because you need to get to a point, because God is very patient, He is loving, but when He has called you to do something, you better move. Back in the day, we had a statement called, you snooze, you lose. You mess around and you don't do it, you're going to lose it. And if you don't do what God has called you to do, you're going to lose that gift. You're going to lose that anointing. Young people, if you don't move and execute, do that project, do that assignment, you may lose out on that A. You may be a half a point away from an A, but you decide, well, I'm just not going to do this. I've been putting it off, and that excuse cost you a letter grade. That excuse could cost you a scholarship. That excuse could cost you your life. Well, you say, well, whose company am I in? I know a great man who made an excuse. This didn't make one, he made multiple excuses. So much so to God got hot with him. You ever notice when you keep making excuses and mama look at you a certain way, a daddy say, all right now, you know, that you can understand that, okay, it's time out for excuses. I need you to start executing. Because if you don't start executing, I'm going to start doing something else. And when I turn up the heat, I believe you will move. I'm telling you today, don't wait until God turns up the heat to start executing, because it may take a while for you to cool off. You need to just move when he says move. Y'all want to know whose company you're in? I'm reminded of a man who made all kind of excuses. But when we look at the history, we see that this great man led them through the wilderness, led them across the Red Sea, was there with them while the manna was falling from heaven. Oh, he was there. He saw great things happen. He was a man who went up into the man in charge and said, you need to let my people go. He said, if you don't do so, this is going to happen. And I believe there are about 10 plagues that came down. We know that man by the name of Moses. Went back up in the house that he was raised and told him, you need to let God's people go. But he wasn't always like that. You see, I want to show you some similarities, because I make excuses. We make excuses. Moses made excuses. But he finally came to his senses when God got high. He said, I need to get moving. If you don't believe me, turn with me to the book of Exodus. Chapter 3. Here, God had called Moses. He was at the burning bush. And he saw that in it. God told him, I need you to do something for me. Then in verse 11, Moses said unto God, who am I? That's our first excuse. Number one, Moses said, who am I? And God asks you to do something, or God tells you to do something. Why are you saying, who am I? Now, have you ever been there and God will call you to do something? Say, Lord, why did you choose me? Who am I to do it? God is saying, if I called you, I prepared you. If I asked you to do something, I've already made the way. Why are you asking, who am I? Why are you doubting yourself? God is saying, I created you. I know who you are. Have we often said, who am I? Oh, that's a big excuse. Big excuse, but he's saying that he is God. But then, verse 13, Moses came back a second time. Oh, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto them, who shall I say sin? He's saying, what is his name? He's like, oh, Lord Jesus, who am I? Now you're going to ask me what is my name? Well, just go ahead and tell him, I am that I am. And when you get to Pharaoh, just tell him, I am the Lord God of the Hebrews. Now, that should settle it, Moses. You don't ask me, who am I? I created you. Now you want to, who's sending me? Y'all know when y'all hear from the Lord. Y'all know when God speaks to you. Why are you questioning the anointing of God and the spirit of the living God when he speaks to you spirit to spirit? Who is this, Lord? Are you talking to me? Every child in here, if I ask you to close your eyes and go into that back room and close that door, and I brought 50 million women up in here, and I asked them to call your name and move only when your mama call you, I guarantee you, you won't move till you hear your mother's voice. Because you know when mama calls. Everybody else could be making noise, but when, that was mama. Same thing. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. So why are you making excuses talking about, what is your name? Then over in chapter 4, verse 1, well, God, they ain't gonna believe. We digging deep now. We on excuse number 3. I want to show you this so I can see, show you that you're not by yourself making excuses.
But in that first parable, God said, all right, forget it. Go get me some more people, and I'm just going to wipe them out. You don't want God to say, all right, just let Vincent go. He want to do his own thing. That's all right. I can replace him, because God's anointing is not just limited to you. God can use anybody, anything. If you don't cry out, I believe my Bible says the rocks will cry out. Oh, my God, got a donkey to speak. If you don't want to do it, I'll find somebody else. Stop making excuses and learn to execute. And Moses say, they not going to believe me. What God said, do you believe me? That's all that's needed. Because if you believe me, and when you get there and you open your mouth, something going to happen. They'll begin to believe, but we make excuses. Oh, Lord. So that's three excuses. Oh, you see, we have a patient God. That's why he hasn't wiped us out. Y'all ever hear preachers talking about, I ran from my calling. That's what Moses was doing. He was running, but you can't run for long. Because I ran from mine, and I even tried to use scripture. Well, Lord, I just need to wait and make sure my calling is sure. Verse 10, chapter 4 and 10 of Exodus. And Moses said unto the law. Well, you ever have somebody that just make excuses everything at work? They always got an excuse at work, at home. You have a nephew, niece, so I always want to just be argumentative, defend. Always got it. But here we go again. And Moses said unto the Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. He had a stutter and a speech impediment. Well, basically what he was saying, God was calling him to go speak and tell things. He said, I'm not equipped. That's what he's saying. I'm not equipped to do that. If God called you, he's already equipped. Everything you need is already on the inside of you if you are a child of God. The Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Or the power is on the inside of you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Stop making excuses. I believe God will like it better if you just say, God, I just don't want to do it, and I'm not going to do it, rather than making excuses. How many of you would rather somebody just tell you straight up in your face, I don't like you, rather than try to undermine you behind your back? I know too many people like that, but Moses, he said, I'm not eloquent, I can't speak. God is getting a little angry now. Verse 4 and 10. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? You questioning me? All you got to do is open your mouth. I'll speak for you. We used to sing a song back in the day. Lord, I'll go if you just show me the way. Just take me, Lord. As I open up my mouth and you'll speak for me. That old folk just say, just send me, I'll go. But we find too many excuses like Moses today. Verse 13. Now we're on excuse number 5. There's a lot of excuses. And God is a patient God. And he said, oh my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt. Y'all know what Moses just said. Lord, send somebody here. Send somebody else. But I like verse 14. It says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. God saying, all right, now I done put up with this foolishness just a little too long. I know why I created you. I know why I called you. And you're going to do what I ask you to do. There's some things we're just not going to be able to get out of. Don't go to sleep and don't do the dishes. You think you got out of it, but somebody will wake you up in the middle of the night. Go to sleep without doing what you're supposed to do. Oh, somebody going to get woken up. But there's some things you're just not going to be able to get out of. Because God has something designed specifically for you. You can run all day and you can run all night long, but when God finally breaks you down, you're going to get up and do what he says to. I'm a living witness of it. He had to break me down, and when he broke me down, I said, oh, Lord, here am I. I didn't say, who am I? I said, Lord, here am I. So Moses finally got up and did what God wanted him to do. So now I gave you an example of a man who made excuses but finally got up and did what God wanted him to do. But I'm reminded, of a man who didn't make an excuse. And I'm so glad Jesus didn't make an excuse. He didn't make an excuse because he was God. Over in the book of Philippians. I like chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Y'all got to get this here. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. I want y'all to understand this. Here we have God, who took on the form of flesh when he saw that there was a problem of sin. And he knew he was God, and he said, somebody needs to fix it. He could have said, Lord, who am I? But Jesus said, I'll go down. I'll take on a body. I'll go through the pain and the affliction. But Jesus could have said to his Father, he could have made all kinds of excuses. God, well, we could just destroy him and start all over. But that agape love said, I can't do that. Jesus could have said, Lord, I got to go down there. They're going to beat me all night long. I can't do that. But he didn't make that excuse. He said, Lord, they're going to nail me to the cross. They're going to pierce me in my side. They're going to put a thorn, a crown on my head. They're going to spit on me. They're going to talk about me. I could make that excuse. But Jesus didn't make an excuse. I'm telling you, he didn't make an excuse. Oh, Jesus. And because he didn't make an excuse, he humbled himself and submitted unto God, even unto death. But guess what? He didn't make excuses. He executed, and then he was highly exalted. If you want to be exalted, stop making excuses. If you want to excel, stop making excuses. Oh, somebody say, no more excuses. No more excuses. I'm so glad Jesus didn't make an excuse. Because if he would have made an excuse, I would have been hung out to dry. But he endured the pain. He endured the suffering. Well, you say, well, he didn't make excuses, but he tried. Well, the spirit was heavy. Y'all want to take me to the Garden of Gethsemane when he got down on his knees and he prayed. He didn't make an excuse. He didn't say, Lord, I won't go. He said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass. But see, when he realized there was no other way, No other way to redeem my creation back to me. No other way to connect them spirit to spirit. No other way that they can have a relationship with me. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. No more excuses. God's will be done. No more excuses. Execute what he's told you to do. No more excuses. Do it today or die. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. The Lord is saying, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. The day you hear me speak to you, I need you to get up and move. Don't say, who am I? Don't say, I'm not equipped. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. No more excuses. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. No more excuses. Oh, Lord Jesus. No more excuses. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. And what was that mind? Humble yourself. No matter what the persecution is going to be, no matter what people are going to say about you, God is going to give you strength to do it. Be like Jesus and say, well, it may be hard right now. May have to endure some pain, but many are the afflictions of the righteous. But my God, my God, my God delivereth out of them all. So don't worry about it.
We trust that you've been blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True Holiness, or if you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue to spread the gospel, visit us on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan, you are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.